Late nights.
Late nights.
Late nights
with Trav
and Travis.
With Trav and Lowe's.
Late nights with Trav and Lowe's.
Welcome to another late night
with Trav and Lowe's
and my jingly cat.
Oh, it's a tree cat.
It's tree cat. If you're tuning in for the first time, I am hosting tonight.
Hey, that's awesome.
In the cantina, and Travis is your...
I'm what, your proxy?
Proxy.
I'm your friend.
You're their friend.
Yeah. So what are we talking about tonight, Lowe's?
So today is going to be an experimental podcast.
I'm all for it.
And it's going to happen during the edit. And what I'm going to do is we're talking about something, and I'll intro it in a little bit.
Okay.
I have a prepared intro, uh-huh. And then I have some discussion points for us to talk about.
Okay.
Right. And the reason I have discussion points is because we got kind of prescriptive, and it was us talking at each other rather than having a conversation for a few times.
We talked about this after a few episodes. We thought, how can we get back to the basics?
Right, because we were talking at each other.
Mm. That's right. Those are good notes.
Mm.
So this is gonna be nice. I'm really excited for this tonight.
Yeah. So it's a combo.
You know, one of my favorite things in the world is just hanging out with you. Just talking with you. Like,
yeah.
Like we interview cool people and we teach each other cool things. But like just hanging out, you're an insightful guy. I enjoy our conversation. So this is gonna be good.
Thank you. This is nice. So in today's episode,
yeah.
Here's what's happening. I love music.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love finding new beats and whatnot.
Yeah. Every time that somebody's like, hey, what's the music on the podcast? That's the episode that you did. Nobody asks the ones that I do.
And so for this episode, I want to do something fun because we've gotten back from three interviews. And so it's been three not traditional Trav and Lowe's.
Right, right.
Episodes. And so in this episode, throughout the message or what we're going to talk about, the mm-hmm. conversation, I'll find spots to intro like a 3 or 4 minute song for you just to listen and enjoy.
Nice.
and then we'll get back to the podcast and it'll kind of sound something like, and now we're back and what we were talking about and so
okay
forth.
Do you want to talk about music or you just want to have the music as a part of it?
The music is a part of it.
Okay.
And I'm gonna try to find something that has the same emotion.
Do you already have the song selected?
I don't have this is post.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go find the songs,
yeah,
and bring maybe 1, 2, 3, or 4 that tie in kind of like the emotion of the episode.
I like it.
Throughout the entire thing, and we'll go in and out of what we like a conversation that we have today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so for my prepared intro,
mm-hmm.
Today is about storytelling.
Oh, okay, storytelling.
Right, and this is a conversation around what the role of storytelling looks like for us, the modern designer.
Mm-hmm.
Modern
mm-hmm.
times, we're designers.
Yeah.
Tippy tap. In this creative economy, right? So we're modern designers in a creative economy.
Yeah.
And the conversation is around what is the role of storytelling.
Okay.
Here's the why. Because the most successful companies / designers right now who are able to convert known and unknown customer needs into a story the customer can get behind, those companies and those designers end up becoming the best in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that control the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted this yesterday from my own account.
Okay.
This is my tweet. The emotions evoked by the stories you tell is what sells a product.
Right.
It's no longer about the features. And I think we've heard this drum beat for like the last 12 to 24 months.
Okay.
Right?
12 to 24 months.
I think so.
Where have you heard this drum beat?
I've heard it.
Where have you heard it? Where is
it? So... Airbnb 2014, 2015 kind of switched to this kind of
storytelling.
Every frame a painting, like every frame matters.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I thought you were talking about.
No, not the YouTube channel Every Frame a Painting.
Oh no, I thought you were going to reference the election and these campaigns that we're seeing, and how they're building narratives.
That's
both about themselves and about each other.
That is a current event.
Yeah. Right?
That is a current event and how storytelling is getting people behind a message, right? So I have a few conversation prompts.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay.
Let's prompt each other.
Here's the first one. Easy question.
Okay.
What are some of the companies that are great storytellers? In your eyes, and I have a few on the top of my head.
Storytellers? I think the go-to, especially for us who are, you know, designers in Silicon Valley, it's going to be Apple, right? We're going to say
right.
Apple has the story of, like, if you use their products, you're a little bit of an elitist. you're into new things, you know, and they kind of build this narrative around their products, but also around like the personas who use Apple products. Mm. Now, the thing about Apple products is they've become so immensely popular in the past decade or so that it really is no longer true, right? Your grandma has an iPad, right?
Yeah.
We can't validly say that she's new and hip and young and and tries new things and stuff. She's your grandma, so get over that. But no matter what, and maybe this has gone, you know, the severity of it has gone down since Steve passed away, but, you know, if you own an Apple product versus a PC or you know, a Linux box or something, there's something a little bit designery, like design conscious, mm-hmm. something about that. And the story is that like I care about my products. Mm-hmm. The story is that like I care about what other people think about my products. You know, So Apple's a good one, but there's a few others that are really interesting. I was at a YouTube conference, and I was hanging out with Scott Tolinsky, who does a YouTube channel called Level Up Tuts, mm. and he was telling me how passionate he was about American Airlines.
Whoa!
Yeah, and he was telling me how much he loved it, and he was super nerdy about American Airlines.
Yeah,
and I was just marveling about the narrative that he bought into. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just like saying like he felt a part of that story. Mm-hmm. American Airlines taught like they have a story of we're not as expensive because we're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. We're your friend.
Mm.
You know, we're not trying to spend extra money on excessive things because we want to just give you a good cheap flight and take care of you and have fun along the way.
Mm.
And you know, just like, have you been on, you know, the difference between like a Delta flight and American Airlines flight? American Airlines. Am I saying American?
You're saying American.
I meant Southwest.
Southwest.
I meant Southwest this whole time.
Now you make more sense. Like American.
Yeah, not American. I just flew American. Uh-huh. So the difference between American, like their safety, you know, like pull the lever and get your flotation device, that versus Southwest. Southwest like throws peanuts down the aisle.
Yeah.
Like they're like a little bit more irreverent.
Yeah.
They try to be friendly. So all of the stuff I was describing was not American, by the way. It's Southwest. I was mixed up there.
Everyone's listening there. They're thinking, like, American. I need to check that.
Yeah.
That's that storytelling.
Southwest. So I don't know. What about you? What brands do you see that tell good stories
outside of tech? So I think we have Uber and Lyft. And
that's not outside of tech.
I'm stating tech so I can set a baseline.
Right? All right, I was like, what?
Uber, Lyft.
You've been in Silicon Valley too long.
That's not tech.
But like, it's cars though.
That's not
like,
that's not the tech. No, Tom's the shoe company.
Shoes, yeah. Apparel. They have a good story.
They have a good story. And have you ever worn Tom's or seen them?
They look uncomfortable.
They look... Why would you wear that?
They're just a canvas, a piece of canvas folded into a shoe.
That's exactly what it is. And the story behind it is that with one pair of shoes that you buy and you wear, we make and gift an exact pair or of same similar quality to someone who doesn't have access to shoes.
Right. And that... Okay, so that's great. And they're eco-friendly, right? Like they're fully biodegradable.
They are.
So those two things, if you wear Toms, what are you saying about yourself?
You're saying I care about other people and I care about the world that I live in and I want to leave it in a better place and not be the stereotypical, you know, Western society person.
Right. And so the people who you see wear Toms are people who, you know, have those type of concerns in their mind,
They do, or want you to know that.
Or want you to know that, yeah.
Right.
And that's what storytelling is about, right, too. Yeah. So the consumer is using Toms to tell their story as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scott was using, not American Airlines, he was using Southwest Airlines to tell me his values.
Yeah.
His values is that he wants a good price and a good friendly, you know, hello.
Uh-huh.
And that's cool.
Yeah, and so the idea behind great storytelling is... we have these natural inclinations to be tribes people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We want to belong to a collective of similar interests and hopes and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so because we have this innate need to be tribes people. When a story resonates with us, it's easy for us to, it hits that tribes mentality.
Yeah.
And so you buy into the story, buy into the brand, and so therein, the company that is telling the better stories are getting better market share.
It goes back to the human need of, you know, we want to belong. We want to belong to something that's great, you know. And tribe is a really great way to describe it. It beckons back to, you know, the days when humans were tribal, and like your whole world experience was based inside of this small community. And tribes are so diverse now, like you can belong to several tribes at once, you know. You belong to the podcaster's tribe, you belong to the creative tribe, you belong to a techie tribe, you belong to, you know, your family tribe, and your family's, you know, interests of your kids, your kids go to a school, you belong to the parents of the, you know, everything is a tribe. And what's interesting is that brands can leverage tribes to not only sell to, but become ambassadors for their brand. I'm thinking of Nike, who used tribal tendencies of humans to create and market their brand. So Nike was a brand who created a tribe out of nothing. Running was not a sport before Nike came to America. It wasn't a sport in America.
Right.
And Nike came and said, hey, look, we make these shoes. Yeah, they're made out of waffle irons, whatever. but running is not only good for you, but it's fun. And everybody's like, what the hell? What? Running? Fun? Shut up. And
shut up.
Yeah, through finding, you know, people who actually agreed with them and building this tribe, it caught on, you know, and then we have Just Do It, and it's a very empowering brand. And so somebody who buys Nike shoes or shirt or whatever, as opposed to Adidas, is saying something about themselves. They're saying, I belong to this tribe. And they're propagating that story.
That's good. Keep that inside and let it resonate, and we're going to listen to these tunes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. We're back from music.
Okay, now we're back.
Now we're back. One thing that we were talking about in the break, we had a literal break.
We did.
We didn't cut or anything. was Travis started to talk about storytelling, how it's interesting, and he brought up this guy, Stephen Sagmeister.
Stefan Sagmeister.
Sure.
He's the... this guy...
And I was like, I don't know
who
that is.
This guy gains a lot of respect in traditional graphic design. Mm-hmm. So, like, not so much UI or web design, but, like, you know, book design, poster design, marketing, advertising. I think that he's really smart. I admire him because he likes to stay small. He runs lifestyle businesses, not businesses that will last him.
Okay.
So his businesses are usually based on his personality.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. They're not very big. Usually has maybe like 8 employees at the most.
Okay.
And he's in New York, and he designs really awesome things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would say.
Okay.
And he, I don't know, I think he gave a talk or wrote an article or something. He's like, no, you're not a storyteller, you know, and his... He was just, I don't know. It was like surprisingly negative, like, and I didn't like it. It made me kind of annoyed because I completely disagreed with it. And he was using his influence in a way that was like super negative.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe it just hurt my feelings. Maybe I was just being sensitive. I don't know what it was.
I don't think you were, because as I was writing this, there was a few times I started writing the sentence or this thought of, not to get heady with you that you know, designers are now storytellers. I'm not saying that we are storytellers,
yeah.
And I didn't want this podcast to go towards that thought school of, you know, designers are now storytellers, and we need to really understand storytelling so that we can be better designers. I didn't want it to get to that point because I remember feeling or hearing something like this,
yeah,
but I didn't know where that was coming from, and so I scrapped it altogether.
So the interesting thing about when people make, especially influential people, when they make a really strong point about something, a lot of people, you know, and of course they're influencers, but a lot of people will just be influenced by that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, okay, this is the new truth. There is this video that went viral about drop-down menus.
Okay.
It is called F Drop-Downs. And like... these guys make great points, but the thing is, they're talking about selecting the selection UI in a form.
Okay.
They're talking about selections. Not drop downs. Selections. And they have a lot of great insights. It's a really, really actually a funny and compelling and entertaining talk. But everybody now, like, so I did a YouTube video on how to make a drop down menu, different than a form selector, right?
Right.
And people were like just linking to the video in the comments and not saying anything, just dropping it, like dropping the mic, like they've
knowledge.
Said the final word, and like it's like disrupting my whole view on things. But but honestly, that's not an original thought.
Yeah.
You're not interpreting anything. You're not thinking critically about what they're saying, and that upsets me more than even what they're saying.
Yeah, and I think the reason it upsets you, knowing you, is that you're a critical thinker.
Yeah,
and you. Don't take anything passing. You analyze everything that comes across your mind.
I'm kind of skeptical.
You are a skeptic. I'm more like, I'm becoming, you're rubbing off on me. I'm becoming more of a skeptic.
That's sad.
As time goes on.
That's sad. So going back to Stefan, you know, when he was come out and he's an influential person, and oftentimes you have to realize that if somebody's going to make a point, they over-exaggerate the point so that they can, you know, stand out of the outside of the noise that everybody hears. So Stefan says, you are absolutely, unequivocally not a storyteller.
Uh-huh.
You're a creator. So create a design or make something useful. And, you know, and people will latch onto that and say, oh my gosh, Stefan, whom we all agree is talented and we admire and is a smart guy, says this. And again, my response to that is like, man, can we please, please just think critically about what's happening here,
mm-hmm.
and understand the context in which he's saying it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and realize that like storytelling is a big part of how humans connect with each other,
mm-hmm.
and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even during the course of this podcast, I've told, I think, 3 or 4 different stories. I've told you a story about Scott. Right. Told you about a story about Stefan. I've told you a story about, you know, standing in the aisle and getting a peanut thrown at me.
Right.
Like this is just, we communicate.
It's how we make connections.
It's exactly right.
It's an easy way for us to relate.
It's how we record our lives.
Mm-hmm. Via stories.
Via stories, yeah. In our, like our memories are what?
Stories.
That's right.
A recollection of stories, right?
Yeah. And so like I wholeheartedly disagree with Stefan, but also I think that everybody should just be like, whoa, step back and like think critically about the things you read, even this podcast. Think critically right. about this stuff.
Right. Which leads me to this other discussion prompt that I wrote down is,
yeah.
what are some things we can do as designers to help evoke those emotions that make it easier for customers to get behind the brand, to get behind a tribe mentality?
How can designers create something to help people get behind the story of the brand, of the
mm-hmm.
tribe?
Mm-hmm. The story behind, yeah, that's exactly it.
How can designers
help evoke those emotions?
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear what you have to say.
I don't have a complete thought here. I do know that we'll circle the drain, and the top of the drain starts with understanding what they say they need or want, mm-hmm. and then percepting what they're showing you and telling you with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? So I think there's some, by talking and seeing and by measuring masses of people, if you can get something to inform like this, like the layers of the onion that you have to peel back.
Okay.
That's all I have right now. That's where I would start.
Yeah. When I think of storytelling and design, I'm often think of like marketing and branding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really thinking about UI, although let me give you this example that completely contradicts what I just said.
Okay.
You know, MailChimp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're not familiar with MailChimp, it's an email service, email sending provider. And they have an actual website that's not even associated with MailChimp, or if it is, it's very loose, and it's called Voice and Tone. And this is a style guide not for UX and or marketing, it's for writing.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes in play in a lot of ways. Like, there's actually a lot of writing that happens when you consider a UI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, if you strip away... Like, let's consider Facebook, right? Like everybody knows Facebook, so just picture it in your mind, Facebook feed. Now, highlight in your brain what parts of the page are UGC or user-generated content. Right? There's like a photo there, maybe somebody made a post. Highlight those and then delete them. What's left? There is menus, there are buttons, there are tabs over on the left, there's ads on the right. All of these things are not a part of the content of Facebook, they're a part of the UI structure of Facebook. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And all of those things are written, right? So how do we help a user know that this is how you upload a photo, or that this is how you like somebody's content, or that this is where the groups are? You do that through writing and through storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so Voice and Tone is a website that very carefully outlines MailChimp's Voice and Tone in UI writing.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, they are bringing a lot of storytelling into UI, and they do a really great job of differentiating what's a good use and a bad use of their voice,
right?
Of the story that they tell, right? Of the how do they represent their tribe?
Mm-hmm.
So one example is, you know, do you just say send, or do you say I'm ready to launch,
right?
You know, and MailChimp has this very, very cool, like when you do hit the launch button, like a little high five monkey hand hits the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a really fun interaction that is a part of the user interface. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit of a reward because sending an email to a few thousand people can be stressful.
Right.
And I think that's a really great example of people using storytelling in their design.
So what I'm abstracting from that is this thing of when you introduce anything to anyone, to a tribe, it's via marketing or word of mouth. right? And what's happening is there's a story that's starting to be told at the front end, or what is considered here at the top of the funnel, right? And what I'm abstracting from you is what MailChimp does with their voice and tone is that that voice and tone that, that you start telling the story with should be a common thread and be consistent all throughout the story till when they get the product, purchase the product, or using the product, it needs to feel like the same tribe.
Yeah. MailChimp is a really good example of using voice and tone to represent their tribe and also differentiate themselves from other tribes. So, so a part of like how you define a tribe is two things. Number one, what do we have in common? Number two, who do we have something not in common with? So you a tribe is equally as defined as who they are as who they are not, right? So Apple users are not Windows users.
That's right.
If you're in the tribe, you do not want not use Windows, right? Yeah. Some people use both. They're not in the tribe. They just happen to use both. Difference. I'm thinking of Google and their material design, right? That tells a story.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Think about the way that the, you know, everything has a certain type of shadow, the way that they we've defined motion. These things tell a story. They navigate the user through the experience in a certain way. And I think that's a great example of storytelling through design, strictly UI design, which is actually one of the harder ways. I mean, you can make a graphic poster.
Sure.
And that's easy to tell a story, right?
Right.
Like if you want it to be a thoughtful poster, maybe use some like, you know, some grids and some Bajas and some like whatever. If you want it to be like a, an emotional poster, maybe use some Trajan or some like scripty kind of font. If you want it to be like punk rocky, we know exactly how to do that.
Yeah.
But to tell a story and to build a tribe around the UI of a multitude of apps, like Google makes chat apps, they make finance apps, they make a whole, you know, phone operating system.
They do.
And they try to tell it with one voice through material design. It's very difficult to keep all those things together, but that story is really what binds it together.
We're going to take a break. Think about that. How can you use UI to tell a story? And just settle on that. If you're not a designer, if you're not into UI, you still have insights you use and are a consumer of user interfaces.
Yeah.
So you have an opinion. Tweet us at Trav and Los, and let's get this discussion going. All right, so we're back. Hopefully you tweeted at us. That'd be good. Can't promise we'll respond, but there'll be people that'll see it and we can get a conversation going. At the top of the show, we started talking about kind of introing storytelling and setting some baselines, and then in the middle we got into UI and storytelling, and how that translates. And I want to close the show with two more discussion points, and these are more bringing it home.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is a question that I'm pondering is, how does it work? Okay, so if you're listening and we've done our job, you've Googled it or whatever, and you're bought into storytelling and that it's important.
Okay.
Okay. How does it work when you're working at a company and storytelling is not part of the culture? What are some things you can do to help create a culture that understands the importance of great storytelling? And how does that positively affect the business?
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking siloed here. I'm thinking tech, right?
Yeah, like
a tech company. But I think this translates to other companies that aren't thinking about stories, because everyone, like you mentioned, Travis, is a storyteller or likes stories. That's how we relate and make sense of the
world.
We
definitely respond to stories more than just flat information.
Right.
And data.
Data.
Give me data.
Yeah, so people...
I just want data. Leave your stories at home.
So it's easy for people to understand stories. And I don't think you need to be in tech to take advantage of storytelling.
Not at all. I mean, we didn't invent it. Not even nearly.
Not nearly at all.
No.
Right? And so what do you do when you're at a place that doesn't get that?
As an employee?
As an employee.
Well, there's two thoughts go through my mind. The first thing is that...
You chuck children's books at them. with dollar bills in them.
there's this story of Marissa Mayer of Yahoo reading children's books during an all-hands meeting. Yeah, this is right after she had a child.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know if that will be a great idea, but...
What, having a child or reading a story?
You choose. Two ideas come to my mind about what you can do to increase the attention paid to stories at your organization. The first one is that, as the creative person, I'm assuming that's who you are listening to this podcast, as the creative, as the designer, or whatever your job is, it's very likely that you sit closer to the customer than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is, as a designer, to have the most empathy for them, to have researched their intentions more than anyone else, and be able to speak for them. You're their advocate in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So you represent them, and therefore when you're presenting things at work, for example, like let's say you're presenting a new idea, you tell the story of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And a great idea, a great way to do that is to have a persona. This is Mary. Mary is 25 years old. Mary is looking to buy some boots. Where should she go to buy some boots? And take the stakeholders in that meeting through the user journey. That's a really great way to help the organization to be story oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Is to use stories.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the second one is a lot harder to effect this change on your own, because most permanent changes come from above.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard for me, who is like a scrappy loner kind of, rebel kind of hate authority kind of guy, to admit this, but I've seen it. It's true. Like, if I were to try to make a change at work versus my manager making a change or the CEO making a change and demanding it from the top down, it's, what's less likely to happen versus more likely to happen.
Right.
So one thing you could do is approach the stakeholders or approach the authorities of the organization and talk to them one-on-one, have an intimate discussion, a critical conversation, mm-hmm. like you outlined in a previous podcast.
A crucial conversation
mm-hmm. About storytelling in the organization. And there's a lot of materials out there to support your argument. Like it's what the hell is that? I've never seen one of those in my life. Is that a grasshopper?
There is this bug.
It's like two millimeters It's like so small.
Yeah. All right.
That was weird.
Get back to it. Okay.
Where was I?
You're saying have a crucial conversation. There's a lot of material out there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, to support your conversation, there's tons of material. There's great books written on this subject. Lois and I are not presenting anything new here. Mm-hmm. We're sparking a conversation in a friendly way, and that's what we have to offer to the topic. But, I mean, wow, you have a really strong argument if you're just going to walk into a stakeholder and say, we should tell stories. If you prepare for that argument, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons of literature, books, experiments, user testing. It's all there, and storytelling wins.
It does win. And what's great about what Travis said is there's two things you do. One, start telling stories.
Yeah.
You become a better storyteller. And,
sure.
And unlike Stefan Sagmeister, who says, you're a designer, you're not a storyteller, go make something, right?
I want to give this guy credit, Stefan, though, because I don't know. It was a while since I've heard that talk, and I don't know his true intent. And we do sensationalize headlines to get clicks. That's just kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. But I do will point a critical finger at people who take it for what at face value.
Yes.
Sorry. So yeah. Continue. I just want to make sure that people don't go, Travis, you didn't understand it. I do understand it.
Right.
And I'm saying that I do, but I'm saying I don't want you to misunderstand it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just trying to get around this right here.
As I edit that whole section.
Yeah, thank you.
So.
That was apologetic if you have ever heard.
So don't take offense if you subscribe to the mentality of designers shouldn't be storytellers. I think you should at least understand what storytelling is and how you can more closely connect with the people that are consuming what you're making.
That only makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what I want to end with, the thought that I was saying is, one, start telling more stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the second thing Travis talked about was having a crucial conversation. Listen back to our episode about crucial conversations, where we introduced the concept of what a crucial conversation is.
Yeah.
And have a one-to-one, face-to-face meeting in a casual setting, and you can spark a conversation by saying, "Hey, look, I've been reading a lot about storytelling. Like, what do you know about it? What role does it play here?" And just softball it,
yeah.
and feel the water so that you can have another one and continue having a conversation and develop it together.
I like that because, you know, is it logical that I can expect to walk in and have a meeting with, you know, Larry Page today?
It's not. It shouldn't be.
No.
If it is.
I've never even seen the guy. Actually, no, I've seen him in a meeting, but like that's it. But I've never talked to him. So, a really great way to affect change, if you need to go up the ladder like I'm prescribing, is to start local and start with your direct manager and say, this is what I'm thinking. Can you help me get this ready to take it to your manager, to mm-hmm. take it up?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of like get people on board and you build a small tribe,
mm-hmm.
you know, around this story of storytelling.
Yeah.
and that's how you, I mean, we have, at Google, like slide decks, you know, like everybody uses slides, mm-hmm. .google.com. And some slides actually go viral within Google,
okay.
you know, and yeah. like that's a great way to build a tribe, people who believe in whatever your yeah. stance is.
Yeah, that's nice. So there you go. There's the advice there. And like, what if it doesn't, what if this culture of storytelling doesn't yeah. exist where you
start
are?
Start
telling stories. This is the
What is the Atlassian kind of, be the change
you seek.
I've always loved that. So Lois works at Atlassian. This is one of their values, as you can mm-hmm. call it. Okay. Be the change you seek. And I've always thought, like, you know, that's just great.
Right. Yeah. Start doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the last conversation prompt to close out the show.
All right.
Is, and thinking of who listens, right? We have professionals, both in design, not in design, at the middle of their career, at a more seasoned senior level of their career.
The people who listen to this podcast?
Who listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Other industries. We've had
chiropractors listen to this
podcast. We've had chiropractors and dentists, I know for sure. a local dentist. Holla at your boy.
Nice.
I do know that here... we've had a lot of younger demographic also listen.
Okay.
In high school overseas, mm-hmm. Or year 10, 11, right?
Okay.
That we have here. And those that are starting college, those that are fresh out of college, those that haven't had a job yet. And so my last question is trying to to address those listeners.
Okay.
And the question I have here is, if you are in high school, first year in college, or fresh out of college, and you're listening to this, why is this even important to you? Why does this even matter?
Right.
Right? Like, sure, you, Travis and Lois, you're talking about this, but, like, why should I care?
Right. Okay. So you and I are talking about, like, in a meeting.
Right.
Tell a story.
Right.
And this guy or this girl is like, I'm not in a meeting.
Yeah.
I won't be in meetings for a while.
Yeah.
Right. Why should you care? Oh, why should you tell stories? Do you have a quick insight while I gather some thoughts here?
You can gather some thoughts. One of the things I did here is I purposely didn't go deep in these conversation starters.
Uh-huh.
So that we could have an ad hoc conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I wrote these, I started to think about things. And mm-hmm. so the immediate thing that I was thinking about is you have to be good at telling stories to yourself.
Okay.
Right? Stories for what you want.
Uh-huh.
And stories for what you don't want in your life.
Right. Okay.
And so in doing that and understanding yourself and understanding the stories that you want to happen or that you want to live, if you continuously tell yourself this story, it's kind of like I've heard this before. It's like saying positive things, putting it out in the universe so it comes back.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But if you consistently beat this drum of a story that you want, you'll more likely than not do things that fit into your story mm-hmm. than they don't.
Right. So one of the aspects of storytelling and also receiving stories is that it paints a vivid picture in our mind. Mm-hmm. Our mind is a powerful tool of visualization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're talking about here. What kind of life do you want to have? Why are you going to school? Why are you listening to this podcast? Mm-hmm. This is kind of like a personal improvement podcast, kind of designery, creative podcast. Why are you listening to this? You have a desire, right? Like what is the outcome that you seek? And there's a story around that. So learning to describe that story, to visualize, is projecting it out to the universe, and is more likely to come true, right? Contrast that with not having any clue what you want to do,
yeah.
Right? What's more likely to happen? What's more likely to come true? The other thing I was thinking about is that, you know, why should somebody who is not yet in a meeting or not yet doing the UI or something like that, why should they be interested in storytelling and design?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to be.
Yeah.
like that's the point. Like start now because it's such a critical skill. Like I will tell you unequivocally, the people who are better at storytellers are better employees. They are more listened to. They have more of a say in what happens in the organization
mm-hmm.
and they progress through the organization. In other words, promotions, in other words, accolades, recognition, faster than the people who are not good storytellers.
Faster. That's
yeah.
the key there.
There could be two designers, two creatives, equal in everything, but one is a better storyteller. I will give you a bajillion dollars, and I'll put it in my bets on the person who is a better storyteller to have a more successful career.
Mm-hmm.
Because a storyteller doesn't just tell a story with a better design. A storyteller is able to take that design and create a need for it,
mm-hmm.
right? And create an understanding of why it needs to exist and be able to convince an engineer to help them build it
mm-hmm.
or to convince your teacher to give you an A for it or whatever the need is.
Mm-hmm.
Storytellers, people who can see narratives in the things that they do and the way that they need to interact with other people win. I just watched this documentary about Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you about this like earlier today. It's a lot of things, right? It's a very emotional documentary. But one thing that interested me in his story, the documentarian says, "Hey, you know, Tony, when did you know that this is what you wanted to do with your life? And like, when was that moment?" And he related a story. go figure. He related a story about like when he was in high school and he was in a communications class and he would tell the jokes to impress the girls and he would like kind of command. He's a very commanding person,
mm-hmm.
but he would like command the class and play them like an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher said he saw it and he said, "I know who you are." And he's like, what? And he kind of, there's this whole story behind it. But anyway, he convinces him to like go to the debate conference and stuff. And Tony learns through the help of this mentor, through his teacher, that he has a very functional power in storytelling and in persuasion. And it's, you know, it's been the crux of his talent and his career, which has been a very successful career. And it all started when he was in high school, junior high school, right? Learning that he had the power of storytelling above normal, normal levels. And, yes, he had it naturally talent, but he encouraged that talent. He, practiced and has gotten better over the years. So what I'm saying by that is that yes, Tony Robbins is, you know, a little bit of a savant when it comes to storytelling and communication. But it's something that we can build. It's something that you can get better at through practice.
That's great. I'm going to end it with a podcast review because that is an awesome cap.
Okay.
To this. That's really good.
Yeah. I want to hear this review.
This is review 51 from Kizmi.
Kizmi
left on August 1st, 2016. And it says, top notch, consistent content.
Ooh, consistent.
They know.
That's a story. That's how you build a narrative.
That's how you build a narrative. I started listening after watching Dev Tips for a long time. I reached out to Travis on occasion, and he's always been a great source of knowledge. Both Trav and Los have wonderful personal insights on being a developer / creative.
Yeah.
He notes, I'm a developer. Keep up the great work. You two are awesome. Kevin Kizmi.
Kevin, thank you so much for writing.
Thank you for taking the time to write. And
I like that he points out our storytelling.
Consistent. That's
consistent. That's a really good hallmark of storytelling. You want your narrative to be consistent so you can people can have something to understand, expect, and trust.
Yeah.
Kevin kind of points that out.
Yeah.
It's great.
So listen to these tunes and digest everything.
These are clays. What are they for? Better rhythm for Latin Americans. Here, let me show you. Very simple. Tied the ends of the guitar string, the clave is used for Latin American rhythm. And then he approached his victims from the rear, looped the wire over their heads, and... Oh, how terrible. Very